Okay, today's daf is Bava Kamma daf Yud Zayin. We have some catching up to do. We're at Tes Zayin and Beis. We are at the Mishnah on Tes Zayin and Beis. The Mishnah is going to talk about the difference between a Tam and a Muad. Then the Gemara is going to end the Perek with a little bit of Agadata. We're going to talk about the accusations of the people against Yirmiyahu and Navi. And we're going to talk about what kind of honor was accorded to Chizkiyahu upon his death and how that differed with the honor of other kings. And then the Perek is going to conclude with a discussion of the reward that someone gets when they're involved both in Torah and in Chesed. And then the second parak begins with a Mishnah that discusses Regel and Sroros, and when a person pays Nezek Shalem for the damage that an animal does with Regel, and when it's only going to be Chatzi Nezek. The Gemara is going to explain the repetition of a couple of phrases in our Mishnah, as well as in the Mishnah about Shein, where it talks about Regel in general, then it talks about a Behema. It says Behema when it's also talking about Regel, so that seems to be repetitive. It does the same thing by Shein. The Gemara is going to explain why the repetition. Now we're going to have a major machlokas about Sroros. How much does one pay for Sroros? And the Gemara is going to have a chiddush that there's a direct correlation between how direct the contact has to be in order for a zav to be metame something, and in order for one to be chayiv for nezek. That the more the directness of the contact is the same in both contexts lahalacha. And at the very end of the daf, we're going to start the sugya, if we get to it today, of basar me'ikara azlinan or basar tavramana azlinan. If an animal kicks a kli right here, and it doesn't break here, but it breaks somewhere else. So do we look at the time of the action where the animal was just walking and stepped on the kli, and therefore view it as regel? Or do we view it as tsroros since it rolled somewhere else before it broke? Normal tsroros is that a rock shoots out somewhere else and breaks something else, not that the thing the animal itself touched breaks. So that's going to be the question of Basar Me'ikara or Basar Tavramana Azlinan. Let's see the Mishnah. Ma Bein Tam L'Muad. What's the difference between La Halacha, between a Tam and a Muad? El Shatam Mishalim Chatzin Ezek Megufo, Umud Mishalim Nezek Shalim and Aliyah. A Tam pays only Chatzin Ezek, and another limitation that it only pays up until its own value, whereas a Muad pays Nezek Shalim, and it pays even Min Aliyah, pays even more than its own value. My Aliyah, what's this expression Aliyah that we have? Amar Blazer B'Mu'ula Shabin Chasav, it means got to pay with the best of his properties. V'cheinu Amar V'yishkav Chisyo Mavosav Bimala Kivrei B'nei David. What does Bimala mean? That Chisyo is buried Bimala Kivrei B'nei David? V'am Rav Lazar Bimala Eitzel Me'ulim Mishpacha. Maninu Davu Shlomo. That Bimala means amongst the most prestigious people in the family, and that's a reference to David and Shlomo. The Marshal explains, why didn't they do this to the other Malchut Beis David to bury them next to Shlomo and David? Only Chizkiyo was Zoche to be buried next to David and Shlomo. So he explains, based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Chavav, that Shevna, who was Memuna al Beis Shul Chizkiyo HaMelech, he was in charge of his household, and he went to dig himself a kever in a place that was really appropriate for Chizkiyahu because he wanted to set himself up as king. You find very often in Tanakh that when someone wants to position themselves as the next king, they sort of do things that should have been reserved for a king. So he dug himself a kever in a place that would have been appropriate for Chizkiyahu, and in the end he was punished and he was killed by the soldiers of Sancheiriv, and there was a terrible busha, and he wasn't buried in Yerushalayim. So when Chizkiyahu died, they didn't want to bury him in the kever that was prepared for him. So to honor him and to show that he is a legitimate melech, they buried him by David and Shlomo. So it was dafka by him, where the burial place that was prepared for him was one that was trying to knock off his malchus. It's dafka by him that we buried him by dafka by David and Shlomo. That's how the Marshal explains. Ve'ikbru b'kavrosav asher karlo b'ir David, ve'ashkivu b'mishkav asher malei b'samim v'zanim. My b'samim v'zanim. What does it mean? They buried him in a kever that's full of b'samim v'zanim. Rav Lazar Amar zini. Rav Shomer Nachmeni Amar b'samim shekalam riach ben bali de'zima. That Rav Lazar holds it's all different types of spices. That there was a great variety of spices. But Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says not a great variety of spices that made the place smell good. It was just the highest quality spice, such a sweet smelling spice that if a woman were to wear such a perfume, it would be bali de'zima. It would be so attractive to people. The Maral in Chidush Agatos explains the machlokas is that Rav Blazer holds that the greatest chashivus is to have the greatest variety, to show that you have everything under the sun. Whereas Rav Shmuel holds, no, the greatest chashivos is in the echus habisamim, is in the actual quality, meaning what's better. By the Beis HaMikdash, why is it that we have any silver, any copper, anything in the Beis HaMikdash? Let everything be gold. If everything were gold, that's Einanius, Makom Hashiras, that shows the greatest. So to some extent, you have to assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that it shouldn't be everything is gold, to show that everything, all valuable things, come into the Beis HaMikdash, even though the most valuable thing may be gold, but there's a certain value in showing all different sorts of valuable things. So maybe that's a similar discussion over here. Do you assume that showing variety is the greatest maila, or do you assume that just showing the most expensive thing is the greatest maila? What's this about? That over here, Yirmiyahu HaNavi is saying that they were choshed him for sleeping with a zona. When Tosus points out the Yirmiyahu Kohen have of a zona asur l'kohen, that's particularly terrible because he was a Kohen and a zona is asur for a Kohen. So that's why it was a particularly awful thing. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni Amar shechashtu meishas ish, that they were choshed him from an eishas ish. The Marsha points out that we find the same thing by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Yud Amar Alf says on the pasuk Vayishma Moshe Vayipol al panav mashmur shama. What did he hear that caused him to fall on his face? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that they were choshedim with eishes ish, that they assumed that both Moshe Rabbeinu and Yirmiyahu HaNavi were in the nichshal and eishes ish. Why would you accuse a Navi of something like this? Because what we find about both of them is that they spent a lot of time b'nevuah. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yirmiyahu HaNavi in Yirmiyahu Perek Aleph, "B'term teitzim erechem ikdashticha," that he was ready mezuman for a long time in advance for nevuah. And Rashi says, "Alecha amarti leMoshe." Navi Akim Lahem Kamocha, that in a certain sense Yirmiyahu is, even though Lo Kam Yisrael Kamosha Od, in a certain sense Yirmiyahu is similar to Moshe. And they both gave Musar to Klal Yisrael. They both had a 40-year career in Nevuah, and both of them had to be Porish Minosho Sehem. And that's the point. Since they both had to be Porish Minosho Sehem, they both had to leave their wives, that left room for the Etzanei Adar to say that it's impossible that a person is going to live his life in celibacy, that he's going to be away from his wife. So they were choshed with Znus and with Eish Ish and all sorts of these terrible things. So the Ben Yoyada though is troubled. Bipshuta, to say that they were choshed in Navi Yisrael in such things, he says if you say Zona, you have to say that they were Motzim Laza Lishto, that she was Mizana Ba'ones, and she became Asura Labaila because Yirmiyahu was a Kohen, and a Kohen is Asur to his wife, even if it was an Ones. That's what it means, a Zona, not that he just Stam went to the Shuk and found a Zona. And if you say that the Chashash was a Mishum Eishas Ish, you have to say that they were Motziu Lazal Ishto, that when she was a katana, her father was mekabel kiddushin for her, and then her father died, and they never found out who the guy was, that the father was mekabel kiddushin. Those must have been the kinds of rumors that they were saying. That's what the Ben Yoyada says, because he finds it unfathomable that they would say kipshuto, that they just went out and found a zona or found an Eishas Ish. So anyway, Bisham, the man Yamashah Chashumi zona, if you say that they were choshin from a zona, hainu l'tziv kishocha muka zona. El man Yamashah Chashum Eishas Ish, my shocha, what's shocha muka zona about if it's chashum eishas ish? Says Mara, atu eishas ish minafka mechal zona. Eishas ish is zona plus, so the pasuk can still call it a zona even if it happens to be eishas ish. Well, Bishon man yamar shechashum eishas ish haynu d'chzivat Hashem yadat es kol atzasam alai lamos. If you say that they accused him of eishas ish, so I understand why he's saying that they were plotting against him to kill him, because Yechayv Misa for an eishas ish. El man yam shechashu mizona my lamos. But if it's only mishum zona, so what's the lamos? You're not Chayv Misa for a zona. So shishlichu leber tit, that they threw him into a pit full of mud. Darash Rava, my duchsiv, you mechshalim lefnecha be'esa pecha asei behem. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was telling Kodesh Baruch Hu that he should be angry and that he should punish these people who had bad-mouthed him. So Amar Yirmiyahu lefnecha Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, afilu b'shoah she'osen tzedakah, hechshilim b'vnei adam she'enem meuganim, kedei shelo yikablu alein schar. Even when they try to do tzedakah, put in their path people who are not deserving of the tzedakah so that they won't get rewarded for trying to give tzedakah for trying to give tzedakah to these people. So we don't want them to get rewarded. The Ibn Yaakov explains why Dafka, of all the things to curse them with, someone's out to kill him and they're trying to bring him down, why curse them Dafka with tzedakah? So the Ibn Yaakov explains that if you say it's because they were choshim le'ish hasish, he Dafka wanted to do midah k'neged midah, because the Gemara in Sota Daf Hey says kalaba le'ish hasish afilu osa tzedakah b'seser, even if he gives tzedakah b'seser, lo yinatzel midina shel gehenim, he's still not going to be saved from dina shel gehenim. So there were lefi ma that they were choshed him in, the tzedakah that he gives would not have helped him. So he's davening for them that their tzedakah shouldn't help them, meaning what they were choshed him would have canceled out any tzedakah he would do. So he davened that their tzedakah should be worthless. The Panamiros explains based on the Zohar, there's a Zohar in Parshas Metzora that those who support Talmid Chavim are zocha to have banim shiruim lios neviim, are zocha to have children who are on the level of becoming a navi or are deserving of becoming a navi. So Yirmiyahu daven that they should give tzedakah to people who are in the mugadim, so that they shouldn't be zocha to have children who are neviim, because they're mezalzel and neviim to such an extent it can't be that they're going to do a mitzvah that they're going to be zocha to have children who are neviim. Now the implication of the Gemara over here is if you give tzedakah to someone that you think is an ani and it turns out that they're not an ani, that you don't get any reward for it. The Sefer Chassidim writes that someone who gives tzedakah to aniim or einam uganim, it's not considered a mitzvah, and not only that, it's considered an avera, that he's doing something that's improper. And that's what Yad Ramah writes from the Drasha of Rava in Yirmiyahu. It sounds like if you give tzedakah to people who are in a muganim, it's not considered tzedakah at all. However, Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos Ben Vavim Beis writes, when you give someone who doesn't know how to make a bracha, if you give it to him b'torah tzedakah and you're mechavin l'shem mitzvah, it's mutter. And the Gilyon Yashah says that it sounds like giving tzedakah to an ani she'eno hagun is still a key of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Now, you could be mechalek. One is giving tzedakah to a person who isn't poor, so it's not even tzedakah, and therefore that could be bad. Whereas giving tzedakah to a person who is poor, he just happens to be that he has that he's not a good guy and he's not going to say brachos. So normally that would be a violation of lifnei iver to give a wipaskin shulchan aruch. You're not supposed to give food to a person who's not going to say brachos. But maybe that would still be a mitzvah of tzedakah. So says the Gemara further now. The covered also lo b'mosa. They did a covered for him in his death. Melanid is referring to Chizkiyahu Hanavi. V'kavod osu lo b'moso, Chizkiyahu HaMelech rather, v'kavod osu lo b'moso, melamid sh'yeshiva yeshiva al kivro. So it teaches us that they set up a yeshiva al kivro. They learned right by his kever. All the Rishonim are bothered by the Kasha. The Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that you're not supposed to say Divrei Torah right near a mace, Loeg L'Rosh, that it's considered a violation of Loeg L'Rosh, as if you're mocking the dead, that he's already chafshim in a mitzvos, he already can't do mitzvos anymore, and you're going to do a mitzvah in such close proximity to him. So Rishonim have several answers. Some suggest, Tosos suggests, that he was not mamish al kivro, it was barachuk dalet amos, and barachuk dalet amos is not a violation of loig l'rush. Other Rishonim suggest, Tosos Rabbeinu Peretz, that since he was mar b'torah b'Yisrael, that dafka is his kavod, that as a special honor for a person who caused such enhanced Torah learning in Klal Yisrael, it's an honor for him to show that the most appropriate way to honor him is to learn right near him. A third possibility that Rishonim raises, Loig L'Rosh is only if you're learning on your own and it's not for the sake of Kavod HaMeis. But if you're clearly doing it for the sake of Kavod HaMeis by being Moshiv in Yeshiva Al Kivro, where it's not just one person doing his own thing, so then that's not a violation of Loig L'Rosh. Adrabah, that's a Kavod. That's what Shidim Gubetz's quotes from the Rimi Gash. The Marsha suggests that it could be Yoshiva Yeshiva Al Kivro is not a yeshiva in learning. It was a hesped. It means that they sat and they spoke about him and his milos and his midos, so that you're even allowed to do Al Kivro Mamish. You don't have to even be at a distance from the kever. So the Tosfos over here on the bottom, Shoshiva Yeshiva Al Kivro, Lufi Shehir B'Torah B'Yisrael, Kedamin and Bechelek, Shabbatku Midon V'Ad Be'er Sheva, V'Lamatzu Yishvi Shatino V'Gitinokas, Shoyu B'Kim B'Tumah V'Tara, and V'Lo Al Kivro Mamash Al Baruch Garba Amos, V'Lekal Loig L'Rush. Tosfos deals with the issue, says it must be 4 Amos away, but the reason why is specifically why it's specifically appropriate for Chizkiyo to be Moshiv in Yeshiva al Kivro is because Torah learning was, we never had a time in history where it was, where Torah learning was quite at that level and that widespread, that even the women, even the children, were Bekiyim in Tumah and Tahara. So it was a tremendously high level of Torah learning. Pligi Rav Nosson Rabbanon, Chad Amar Shlosha, V'Chad Amar Shiva, V'Armila Shloshim. How long were they Moshiv in Yeshiva al Kivro? It's either 3 days, 7 days, or 30 days. Three opinions. Tan Rabban v'kavod also lo b'mosu zechis kiyom melech Yehuda sheyatzu l'fanim shloshim v'shisha alef chalutzei kasef divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that the great kavod that they did for Yirmiyahu HaMelech, for Chizkiyo HaMelech rather, was that they had 36,000 people who went out with bare shoulders as a sign of avelus because of his patira. Where do we get the idea that it was 36,000? Says Tosos, lo begematria hachi hava, that it says the word lo, lamid vav is 36. 36 wouldn't be such a great honor, so mistamu was some multiple of 36, and therefore we assume 36,000. Now what is this bared shoulder that we're talking about? So the Rabbi Chananel writes that they would take one arm out of the Beis HaTzavar through the neck hole in their garment, in order to make the area where they tore very clear, and therefore the shoulder was separated from the rest of the shirt. They would take it out in a way that would accentuate the kera. Rashi says that they tore their begadim dafka to the point that they tore them so much that their shoulders were bare. This idea that you're tearing kriya on someone who's not a relative, we do have such a concept even on Rabbo Muvak. A person tears kriya. Anyone who's there b'shas yitzias neshama, you tear kriya. So sometimes a person is such a great leader that they all consider him like a rabbo muvak, like a leader of all of them. So then they tear kriya. So the question is: Is this a new gavelus that's supposed to be practiced? The Rambam Parches Halach Gimel Filchzaval writes al avval imo cholitz ksefo motzi zro min achalakat sheiskal ksefo v'zro. He says that when one loses a parent, one is supposed to do this, and then once the kavura happens, then it's already over. Because the Mishnah says this idea of achar kavura einu cholitz, the Rambam learns from the pasuk by Chizkiyo, sheyatzu lefanav, sounds like only lefnei amita they went out this way, that was their sign of mourning during the funeral. But once he was already buried, then they were no longer chalutzei kasev. How could you say this was a great maila, that a great kavod that they did dafka for Chizkiyo HaMelech? They did the same thing for Achav. They would walk around chalutzei kasev. So how can you say that it was dafka something for Chizkiyo? El sheinichu sefer Torah al mitaso va'armu kiyam zeh mashkas b'zeh. No, it was a different thing that they did for Chizkiyo. They put a sefer Torah by his coffin as a way of saying, and they actually said that this person fulfilled everything that it says over here. Tosfos raises the question, but wait a second, the Gemara Moed Katan says that it's aser to do this because it's aser leishev agabe mita sefer Torah munachas aleha. You're not allowed to sit on the same bed as the sefer Torah. So how are they allowed to put a sefer Torah on the bed that he was on? Ba'komitz rabbi iko plukta damarai leka lemifrach midrami nechemio dahacha deshayni chizkiyo davagadol b'toru b'maisim tov b'yoser. So Tosfos suggests it's different over here. Chizkiyo was a gadol b'toru and because he was so great, for him it was different. You were allowed to put a Sefer Torah Tafka on his Mita. Shidim Gvetzah suggests that there's a Machlokas and Menachos, whether you're allowed to sit on a Mita Sefer Torah Aleha. Machlokas and Menachos Taflam Bey, so it could be that this Sugya is assuming like the Shita, that it's Mutter, that it's a Machlokas in the Sugyas, and this Sugya assumes that it's Mutter. Like that Shita in Menachos, that it's Mutter. The Meiri says, Moshivin Sefer Torah Al-Mitasa Shaltamid but the Miri says you have to make sure that the Sefer Torah is gavoa me'amita kolshu, that the Sefer Torah is not mamish on the mita, because that taka would be asir. But he's addressing this issue. He's addressing this very issue that it can't be mamish on the mita. So the Rishonim have different ways of dealing with why this was okay. Says the Gemara, v'idna nami avdinon hachi. But don't we do that even nowadays? What was so great that we do it dafka v'chizkiyo? We do it even nowadays. And the Gemara, no, afuke mafkinon nuche lo manchinon. We may take out a Sefer Torah, but we don't put it on the mita. Or maybe we do put it on the mita, but we don't make a verbal declaration that this person was Mekayim Kol Shekal. possible zeh. Amar Rabba Brachana, v'azil nabadiz Rabbi Yochanan Mishal Shmeita. I was following Rabbi Yochanan to ask him some questions. Kavayil lebeis akisei, when he went into the beis akisei, v'avbina minei milsa, and I would ask him something, lo pashal anad mashi yadei umanach tefillin umavarich. He wouldn't answer until he came out, he washed his hands, he put on tefillin, and he said a bracha. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, l'chor, it's out of order, because kol mitzvah slum varchan alein over las yasin, should have been mevarich umanach tefillin. Why is it manach tefillin then mevarich? So he points out that like we do, we put on the shel rosh, but we just don't tighten it yet, and then we say the bracha, and then we tighten it to make sure that it's over las yasin, not over the over. V'hadar amr lana, afilu kiyem amrinan, limed lo amrinan. And then he said to us that by Chizkiyo HaMelech, what was different about him was that they said not only that he was Mekayim, but that he was Limeid. Nowadays, we would only say Kiyem Zeh, Mashakasa Bezeh. We would only point to the Sefer Torah and say that this Nifter was Mekayim, what it said. Ayv Amar Mar, Gadol Limud Torah Shalimud Mevi L'Dei Maisa. But isn't the whole kunz of Limud that it's Mevi L'Dei Maisa? So isn't Kiyem a greater compliment than Limeid actually is? So how can you say that the compliment reserved for Chizkiyo that was on a higher level than the compliment we give is that he was Limeid? No! Kiyem is the greater compliment, because limud, the whole my love limud is that it's mevil de maisa lo kasha hal de migmar hal de gemurit. There's a difference between learning for himself, where maisa is better than learning for yourself, as opposed to teaching other people. That's the highest level, when one is a marbitz Torah. Av Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Shum Menichayim may dechsev ashreichem zori al kol mayim mishalchei regel ashor v'achamor. What's this pasuk teach us? Kol osik b'torah gemilz chasadim zoch l'nachla shnei shvatim, that anyone is engaged in both Torah and gemilz Chasadim is going to be Zocha to the Yerusha of two great Shvatim. Shenemar, Ashrechem Zorei Ve'in Zriya El Tzedaka. Shenemar, Ziru Lachem L'Tzedaka V'Kitru L'Fi Chased Ve'in Mayim El Torah. And Mayim is always referenced to Torah. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says about Torah and about Mayim, have a cold Sami L'Chulu Mayim, that anyone who's thirsty should go to water, which means if you're thirsty for Torah, then you go to Mayim, you go get Torah. V'zoch l'nachla shnei shvatim, and one who engages in Torah and gemilas chasadim is going to be zocha to the nachla of the two shvatim. Zocha l'kila ki Yosef tichsiv, he's going to be zocha to the kila like Yosef. He's going to be zocha to the brachos of Yosef tichsiv, because the pasuk says by Yosef ben poras Yosef. Ben Poros Aleayin, that's where we learn that he doesn't, the Gemara skips that phrase in the Pasuk when it quotes it. That's where we learn that he's not subject to Tayin Hara. Benos Sada Ale Shur. V'zochel Nachlas Yisachar, and he's also going to be zochel to the Nachlav Yisachar, Tichsiv Yisachar Chamor Garam. Istarmi Oivav Nofel in front of him, and some say that his enemies are going to fall in front of him, Ki Yosef, Tichsiv Behemam Yinagach Yachtav Avsei Aretz. V'zochel Bino Ki Yisachar, and he's going to be zochel to the extra Bino, the extra understanding that Yisachar has, Tichsiv Mnei Yisachar Yode Bino Leitim Ladas Mayasa Bi Yisrael. So this is the Zuchus that he's going to have with the Shnei Shvatim. Maritz Chayis just points out that it's not arbitrary. The Maritz Chayis points out that someone who's Osik B'Torah Gemilas Chasadim is going to be Zocha to Dafka what Yosef and Yisachar has, based on the Gemara Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Avodah Zarah says on the same Pasuk that when someone is engaged in Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, Yitzro Masur B'Yado. So Maritz Chayis explains Yitzro Masur B'Yado is the same drasha as this, that he's going to be Zocha to Yosef and Yisachar, because what Yosef and Yisachar have is the antidote to the Yetzer Hara. Yosef, we find, was able to defeat the overwhelming Yetzer Hara of Eishes Potiphar. He was Yitzro Masur B'Yado, and he didn't sin with Eishes Potiphar, and that's why the Gemara Numa Daf Lamed Hey, when it talks about Hillel Mechayev Es Ha'aniyim, and this one is Yosef is Mechayev Es HaRishayim. People are going to say, I had too big a Yetzer Hara, I couldn't handle it. Then they're going to point to Yosef, are going to say, well, you didn't have a bigger Yetzer Hara than he did, and he managed to handle it. And Yisachar is the one that's constantly learning Torah. The Gemara tells us Torah be'idna da'asik ba magni matzli, that Torah, when a person is learning Torah, he's constantly protected from the Yetzer Hara. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Yetzer Hara, Baruch Lo Torah Tavlin. So if the Gemara Avodah Zarah is going to say that when one is also in Torah Gemilas Chasadim, Yitzro Masu B'Yado, it actually fits quite beautifully with what we're saying over here, that when one is also in Torah Gemilas Chasadim, they're going to be Zocha to be like Yosef and Yisachar. Hadrilach Arba Avos. New parak now. Ketzar HaRegel Muadas. How does a regel, in what way is an animal muad? to damage beregel l'shaber b'derech hilucha. That means that it damages in its normal way of walking. It's not kavanas lahazik or anything like that. It's just walking and it does damage. That's what we call regel. Habehem muades lahalich k'darko l'shaber. A behem is considered an automatic muad to break as it is walking. That to break things out as it is walking. The Gemara is going to ask that those two lines are identical. They're not. It doesn't seem that the second line of the Mishnah is saying anything that the first line didn't already tell us. We'll see in the Gemara. Ha'isim of etes. If an animal was kicking, or rocks, pebbles flew out from underneath its feet as it was walking, and it broke kelim, mishalim chatzi nezek. Then it's only going to pay chatzi nezek. Dorsa al kli v'shavarto, if it tramples on the kli and it breaks it, v'nafal al kli v'shavro, and then that broken piece went and fell on another kli and broke a second kli, al risho mishalim nezek shalim, for the first kli you paid nezek shalim because the animal was just walking on it, so that's regular regel, v'alachor mishalim chatzi nezek, but on the second kli where it's tsroros, where it shot out and it broke the other kli, then it's only going to pay chatzi nezek. Tosus points out, Darsal Kli, Amri Dirsa Klashmin, and Salkadai the Chamin of the Mashunahu, Kimin the Darsa Kolkach Bechozak Shenita Sashevra al Kliacha Veshavro, Umustamala Hazak Niskavna. You might have thought that if it stepped on a Kli hard enough that when it broke, a piece would go out, would shoot out and break another Kli, that must have been Kavanasa Lahazik, and that would therefore be Keren and would not be Regel. So it's telling us a Chiddush, that even if it steps with some force, it might still be Regel. Doesn't necessarily mean that the animal had Kavanasa. That's the chiddush that the Mishnah is teaching me over here. A tarnagol is a muad to just walk and break things as it walks. If it had something tied onto its feet, was dancing around, moving around, and it broke some kelim, mishalim chatzi nezek. It's only going to pay chatzi nezek. And Gemara is going to explain that the delil has a din of tsroros. So and also on the part about it dancing around, it must be that we're talking in some way that it's an issue of tsroros. Now, just one thing in the Mishnah, we said ha'isam va'etes, that if the animal was kicking. So this whole Mishnah, if you had to title this Mishnah, the title of this Mishnah is regel. When's an animal chayiv nezek shalim for regel? When's it chayiv chatzi nezek for regel? But it's all about regel. Sometimes even chatzi nezek on regel, if it happens to be tsroros. Miva'etes is a totally different din, though. Miva'etes, the animal is kicking on purpose. That's not regel. That's keren. That's kavanas alazik. That's a todah of keren. So says Tosos, ha'isam miva'etes, agav deshav litzroros nakat lahacha. Since it's chayiv chatzi nezek, just like tsroros, that's why we mention it over here, even though it really does not belong in the Mishnah about regel. The Rashba suggests to other terutzim that since this takala came about by the animal's feet, so it's mentioned over here, even though this is really keren. Or, says the Rashba, the Mishnah is trying to be mechadish against Rabbi Tarfon. We had Rabbi Tarfon and Daf Yadalid, that keren that's mazik bechatzar nizik pays nezek shalem. So our Mishnah is saying, look, we're talking about regel. Regel is only shayich to be chayiv bechatzar nizik, because an animal is allowed to walk in public. It's only b'chatzar nizik that regel is going to be chayv. So our whole Mishnah must be talking about b'chatzar nizik. And nevertheless, the Mishnah still says, ha'isam eva'etas, that if it was kicking something purposefully, it's only going to be chayv chatzi nizik. So the Mishnah is coming to teach me against Rabbi Tarfon, that even though it's keren b'chatzar nizik, it's still only chayv chatzi nizik. Unlike Rabbi Tarfon, who thought that keren is chayv chatzi nizik b'rishos haravim, but b'chatzar nizik Rabbi Tarfon understood that Karen is Chayiv Nezek Shalim. So that's what the Rashba suggests may be the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara now, Amalei Ravina L'Rava, Hainu Regel, Hainu Behema. First two lines of our Mishnah are extremely repetitive. They say the same exact thing. Regel, Behema, they mean the same thing. So Amalei Tana Avos V'Katani Toldos, that it wants to mention both the Avos and the Toldos. When it breaks something with its foot as it's walking, that's the Av of Regel. When it breaks something with its body as it's walking, that's a Tolda of Regel. It is Regel, but it's only a Tolda. So that's why we mention it separately. So Frak the Gemara, Elameata, Sefer D'Katani Ashen Muedes, Habehema Muedes. Later on we have a Mishnah in a couple of days from now, that talks about Shein Muedas, and then it says HaBehema Muedas, which is a repeat of HaShein Muedas. So why would you need both lines in that Mishnah? My Ovos, my Toldos Iko, over there it's not Ovos and Toldos. Whatever it's talking about, it says Behema Muedas is Lechel Peros V'Yerakos. That's not a Tolda, it's eating Peros V'Yerakos. It's very clearly an Av. So what kind of Ovos and Toldos could you say over there? Savakamahadle B'Bdichusa V'Amle Anoshon Eichada V'Atshon Eichada. So Rava responded, Bibdichusa, to say, I already answered one. Why don't you answer? Why don't you answer this one? I took care of the first Mishnah. You go. You take care of the second Mishnah. That's how Rashi understands is the Bdichusa. Some of the Achronim understand the Bdichusa is what Ravina said to Rava, that you think your answer is an answer. It's a joke. It's against. What are you telling me that you're going to answer? Give an answer. It's only going to work for one Mishnah. It's not going to work for the very next Mishnah. Anyway, the time of Maisa, how do we talk to explain that next Mishnah and Daf Yutes? Amaravashi Tana Shein de Chaya v'Katani Shein de Behema. It says Shein twice, once for Chaya, once for Behema. Salkadai de Chamina Imarithol l'shalech es biro k'siv Behema in Chaya lo v'shilach es biro k'siv Behema in Chaya lo. That when it talks about Shein, it's talking about only a Behema. Kamash Mon de Chaya b'chal Behema. The Chaya is also like a Behema in this regard. Ihachi Yami Bayle l'misim bereisha. If that were the case, then shouldn't it have been mentioned first? Meaning, shouldn't Shein de Behema have been mentioned before Shein de Chaya, if the pasuk is about Shein de Behema, so shouldn't that come before Shein de Chaya? And Sumara, yeah, but Haidasi le midrasha chavivale. We sometimes like to put that which comes from the drasha first because it's more chaviv to us when we're able to derive it from a drasha and when it's not explicit in the pasukim. So, frankly, Gemara, if that's true, that which is not explicit in the pasuk comes earlier, iacharesha nami listening to loksiva beresha. In our Mishnah also, it should have first spoken about an animal that damages with its body, and then spoken about an animal that damages with its leg, because with its body is not explicit in the pasuk. Says Mara Hachi Ashta. No, you can't compare the two Mishnayos. Hasam idi v'idi avos ninhu hachta asile midrasha chavivale. By the Mishnah about Shein, whether it's a behema or it's a chaya, they're both avos when it eats something and damages. So you could mention the one that comes from the drasha first, but hacha shavik avetani tolda. But over here by Regel, when it damages with its legs, that's an Av. When it damages with its body, that's a Tolda. You always want to mention the Av before you mention the Tolda. Or it could be that we want to start by talking about Regel because the last Mishnah in the last parak spoke about Regel when we spoke about Chamisha Muadinein, the five things that are Muad. So the last Mishnah spoke about Regel. That we say a Behema is a Muad to go in its normal way and to break things. So what's the normal case? Behema Shenichnas Alachatra Nizik V'Izika Begufa Derech Hilucha. If an animal was going in a chatra and is again, it damages with its body as it's walking. Ubisa'ara derech hilucha, or with its hair as it's walking. Ba'ukav shalah, b'shliv shalah, b'prumbiyah shabbiyah, ubizug shebet savara, or any of the kalim that are typically put on an animal. V'chamor b'maso, or a donkey with its burden. Mishalim nezik shalim, that's normal regel, you pay nezik shalim. Sumchus omer, tsroros, v'chazer she'inover bash, b'vizig mishalim nezik shalim. If you have either tsroros, or a pig that's pecking around in the garbage and it does damage, so it pays nezek shalem. Hizik pshita. Well, if it does damage, of course it's going to pay nezek shalem. Even though it's not direct damage, something shoots out and breaks something else at a distance, even then you pay nezek shalim. So, frag the Gemara, where did Tsroros come into this conversation? Tsroros, mandakar shemayu. Why are we all of a sudden mentioning when something shoots out and breaks something else? That wasn't part of the conversation until this point. Who introduced that into the conversation? So, chisuri mechzavachitan, we have to add another line, and it should go like this. Tsroros kirochayu chatzi nezek. Normal case of tsroros is chatzi nezek. V'chazer she'inover ba'ashba v'hitiz v'hizik mishalim chatzi nezek. And similarly, if a chazer was messing around in the ashba and something shot out and broke something, also it's chatzi nezek. And then sum chusomer tsroros v'chazer she'inover ba'ashba v'hitiz v'hizik mishalim nezek shalim. Sum chus disagrees. Sum chus says anything that could be classified as tsroros pays nezek shalim. There is no such din that tsroros pays chatzi nezek. Tsroros in fact pays nezek shalim. Tanu Rabban, we have a brisa. If you have tarnagolim that are flying around from one place to another, and they break kalim with their wings, mishalim nezek shalim, they have to pay nezek shalim. That's direct regel. That's normal way of a tarnagol moving about, and therefore pays nezek shalim. Biruach shebekanfeyen, mishalim chatzi nezek. If it breaks something with the wind from its wings, that it flaps its wings to the point where it blows, it makes a wind, and it breaks something, then it pays chatzi nezek. Sumchus omer nezek shalim, but sumchus says nezek shalim. This also apparently is like tsroros, where you have this machlokas chacham min sumchus. Tiny idach, tarnu another brisa, tarnu golan shoy mahatzin al gabi isa, val gabi peros, vitinfu, on nikru mishalim nezek shalim. Tarnu golan are trampling, walking, hopping on dough or on fruits, and they ruin it and they dirty it, so they have to pay nezek shalim. Helu offer otsoros mishalim chatzi nezek. But if they kick up some dirt or some rocks or something like that, then it pays chatzi nezek. Sumchus omer nezek shalim. But again, sumchus says not chatzi nezek, nezek shalim. Tiny idach, another brisa, tarnu golan shoy mafriach mimakom mimakom v'yatsa ruach mitachas knafav v'shivra es hakelim mishalim chatzi nezek stomach rabbanan. We have another brisa that says that a chicken is waving is making a wind with its wings, and it goes and that wind breaks another kli, it only pays chatzi nezek. That's like the rabbanan. Sumchus l'chara would have said you pay nezek shalim. Amarav, Bish, Lama, Sumchus. I understand Sumchus is Shita, at least, that you're always going to pay Nezek Shalim, Kasavar, Kocho, Kigufo, Dami. He holds that even something that's only Kocho, that's not direct, but it's only the Koach of the animal, that's like the animal doing damage with its body itself, and therefore you're going to pay Nezek Shalim. But the Rabbanan Shita of Chatzi Nezek is more difficult to understand. Al Rabbanan, Mimanavshach, I Kigufo, Dami, Kulay Nezek by Lashalim. If you're going to say Kocho, Kigufo, so then it should be mamish kigufo, and you should have to pay nezek shalem. V'lav kigufo dami chatzi nezek nami lo l'shalem. And if kochos lav kigufo, then it should be so indirect that you shouldn't have to pay anything. You shouldn't even have to pay chatzi nezek. So which is it? What's the explanation of why chatzi nezek would be where you have to pay? Hadra marav liyolam kigufo dami v'chatzi nezek tzoros hilchsa gemirila. Really, kocho is kigufo dami, and really, therefore, you should have had to pay like the nezek shalem, like Sumcha says. But chatzi nezek tzoros is halacha l'moshe misinai. The Chavos Yoyer and other achronim point out, Maritz Chayis and others point out, that this Gemara seems to be very difficult for the Rambam in a couple of places. The Rambam most expansively in the Akdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayis, but also in the first part of Hilchos Mamrim and in Sefer HaMitzvos in the second Shoresh, writes that that whenever we have something that's a Kabbalah halacha l'moshe misinai, Ein behem machlokas li'olam. We never find a machlokas in halacha l'moshe misinai. If you have a machlokas, Rambam says, if you ever wonder about how our Mesorah seems so weak, it seems you have a machlokas about everything, it says our Mesorah is not weak at all. Our Mesorah is extremely strong. And the raya is halacha l'moshe misinai, that you never ever find a machlokas halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Chavos Yoyer points out, among many other sugyas, the Chavos Yoyer points out, this sugya seems to be a clear example of halacha l'moshe misinai, where you have a machlokas. That Sumcha says, chatzi nezek, Sumcha says, nezek shalim, and the Rabbanan say, chatzi nezek. Maritz Chayis suggests that in the Skabla Halacha L'moshe Misinai, that Tzroros is included in Chiyuvei Amazikim. But in the details of the Halacha, there was a Machlokas. Meaning everyone agrees that there is a Halacha L'moshe Misinai about Tzroros. That Tzroros is also a Nezik for which you pay. The Machlokas is only in terms of how much you pay. And he says, details of a known Halacha L'moshe Misinai, that you can have a Machlokas about. It's only about whether Halacha L'moshe Misinai exists that you can't have a machlokas about. Other acharim not so thrilled with that Maritz Chayis. What do you mean? It's halacha l'moshe misinai that tzoros is nezek. We just said kocho kigufo dami. That according to Sumchus that you're paying nezek shalim, the svara is that kocho is kigufo. So you don't need halacha l'moshe misinai that you're chayiv kigufo begufo. So you shouldn't need halacha l'moshe misinai that you're chayiv for tzoros. So it doesn't sound like Sumchus would hold its halacha l'moshe misinai. It sounds like only the Rabbanan would hold its halacha l'moshe misinai. The Netziv in one of his akdamos to the Shil. This Pirush on the Shiltos, he has three of them. In the first of the Akdamos to the Pirush on the Shiltos, and the Tziv writes that the words Hilchsa Gemirila don't always mean Halacha L'moshe Misinai. Hilchsa Gemirila is a phrase that we use when we're not sure that we can track down the source of something. So if we can't trace exactly where the source is from, it could have been from very early Tanaim, but we just couldn't figure out exactly where they derived it from. So we say, Hilchsa Gemirila, this was a halacha that was passed down by tradition throughout the generations, even though we're not able to track down an exact source for it. So the next stage in the Gemara, Amar Rava, Rava says a chiddush, which we're going to discuss a little further tomorrow. We'll just say the chiddush. Kol shebezav tamei benizak mishalim nezik shalim. Any contact that's direct enough that a zav would be able to be metamei something with that contact, by nezikin you'd have to pay nezik shalim for such a contact. Kol shebezav tahar benizikin mishalim chatzi nezik. Any contact that's so indirect that a zav would not be able to be metamei something with that contact, so by nezikin it would only be chatzi nezik. So the Gemara is going to ask what Rava is teaching me. Rava Tzoros Asalashmin, and he's just telling me the din of Tzoros. Lo Rava Egla Moshachs Agala Moshachs Bekarin Kamashmalan. He's actually teaching us the din about a wagon that gets rolled over something that, just like a zav would be metame, that would not be considered Tzoros. That would actually be considered something that's regular nezek that you'd have to pay for. So Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with Tanya Kavase tomorrow. Sure.